Character is, and this is what I've learned throughout my life and how I believe, character is what you do when no one's watching and there's no fanfare and there's no camera on you. And it is, what are you going to do in this moment? And you know when character comes because you can feel it in your heart and you know this is a character moment and it's up to you. Some people choose cut the corner, let's be more efficient. No one will ever figure it out. You know, what if they do?
Welcome to the Law Talk Podcast, where we break down what it takes to succeed at the business of law without sacrificing the life you want. The first season is devoted on increasing value in every case while also living a life that provides happiness, purpose, and roots that run deep. Before we dive in, a little background. Hollis Wright & Clay is a law firm based in Birmingham, Alabama, with 10 seasoned trial lawyers on staff, a firm built on experience, excellence, and decades of incredible results. With that, we welcome in the managing partner of Hollis Wright & Clay, Josh Wright. Now, one thing I know about you, Josh Wright, is you know a lot of attorney jokes. Don't you?
Yes.
And you enjoy them. So it's interesting, our topic with this episode. This episode is about reputation and honesty, our cornerstones of a thriving practice. Because in all of those jokes, attorneys are the, they get the brunt of them, right? Yes. So this is where you are landing, and I know you're well enough to say this, you believe that honesty and integrity matter. It yep. is interesting that so often attorneys are the butt of the joke.
100%. And I mean, that's one of the misnomers of what it's like to practice in an industry where you have an association and you're a member of an association and they have control over making sure that you're telling the truth, right? We have rules right. of ethics that mm-hmm. require honesty and candor. So lawyers sometimes get a bad rap. The reality is those that are following the rules and doing it the right way are being ethical and not just being honest to their clients and not just being honest to their partners and their lawyers, but being honest to the general public. Right. There are rules and responsibilities for that. And so I take it serious. I kind of think back and hearken back to a moment where one of my children, I think it was my oldest, was in second grade and had to explain what their parents did. And mm-hmm. he could not enunciate lawyer very well. And it came out as liar. But Natalie was there. And she, of course, texted me. And we were laughing. And she said, you know, he said you were a lawyer, but really you were a liar. And I just thought it was funny. Good teacher conference, too. Good right, moment. Yeah, good stuff. But no, we can also be honest, too.
Yeah. So I also know, I mean, with any line of work, There is always this pull. I don't know if it's an American thing, but we love shortcuts. Yeah. We just love the shortcut. Sure. We love the get rich quick. We love that strategy, right? But reputation, honesty, mm-hmm. as cornerstones of a practice, that's not the shortcut. That's the long road.
That's the long road if you want to have a thriving practice,
right?
Those lawyers that I have litigated against throughout my career that I know are not forthright, are hiding documents, refuse to turn things over, I have to go fight with the court. Those are going to be really difficult forms of litigation, mm-hmm. and I know it going in. I know what's required. So my temper and my conduct is quicker and to the point with those lawyers, because the reality is I just go to the court as much as I need to in order to get what I want, because I know they're not going to be honest with me. On the other hand, when I have honest lawyers, I will work with those honest lawyers because
right.
I know who they are and I know they're good human beings. And if they tell me documents are coming, they're going to be coming. If they tell me they don't have those documents, I don't have to go to the court and dig for them because I trust them, right? So I think what this show really and this podcast really is about is that being honest and forthright in the entire litigation process from case acquisition to case closure and settlement mm-hmm. is a critical component to a thriving practice to be successful and efficient.
So how do you teach this yeah. culture, this ethic, this sort of brand and mission statement when the pull mm-hmm. to cut corners is so prevalent?
any lawyer listening to this podcast will agree with this next statement, and that is that leadership in law firms trickles down to younger lawyers in that law firm. And what I mean by that, David, is this. I can name several law firms now where the leaders of those law firms, some of whom are not even practicing anymore, their influence was so prevalent to fight over everything, hide documents until the court forces it, whatever their mentality was. It was so prevalent that it has trickled down to their associates, and to this day, those associates do the exact same thing, and they may not even realize what they're doing. Vice versa, top-down leadership, where you're dealing with top-down leaders at law firms where they have taught their guys to fight over only what has to be fought over, make sure you're diligently representing the interests of your client, but fight over only what you need to, and be honest. And if you've got something, if they've got you, then out-lawyer them, because you don't have the facts on your side. You don't have the evidence on your side. Go out-lawyer them, but turn it over if it's required to be turned over. So the reality is it comes from the top down. And it comes from the mentality of the lawyers. What we teach our guys here is, I want people to know us as diligent lawyers that are super honest, and it's going to be a fight because they know what they're doing in the courtroom. That's what I want our guys to know, but I want honesty to be part of that.
Is there at times a collision between being honest and sacrificing money for reputation? And where and when does that come up the most?
Yeah, you know, it comes up in a lot of different places. It comes up in whether you're willing to put money into the marketing dollars or you want to go directly solicit and violate the rules of professional conduct, an accident that happened, and go steal a case from someone, right? It comes up there. It comes up when you're settling cases. Are you going to pay the referring lawyers that sent you business? Are you going to try and find a way to send them additional business and vice versa, them send you more business because they trust you? It comes in the form of litigation. I have documents that are not good for my side, and I don't want to turn them over, but the rules tell me I should. Do I turn them over? So it literally comes, and honesty and candor and truthfulness in litigation comes in all shapes, colors, and sizes. But you have a choice to make as a lawyer, and you have a choice to make as a good lawyer, and that is, I can either recognize that I didn't create the facts, the circumstance, the evidence, and the documents, but I'm going to be honest so that my reputation transcends this case or not. And that's your choice. So you use the term in your question, sacrifice, and that's a great term for this point. Sometimes we are sacrificing money in order to do what's right. And that doesn't mean you can't be aggressive and diligent in your litigation. Doesn't mean you can't be a great trial lawyer when the time counts in that case. But the reality is, don't sacrifice reputation and your honesty and your word in order to make an extra buck. I promise it will not pay dividends long term.
All right, I'm going to press you on that
after
the break, because I'm curious how this comes into play, because I would think this is what you're saying, I think every law firm says, okay? Hire for character, all of that sort of thing. I'm curious how this comes into play and what do you look for when it comes to talent acquisition of attorneys and how character plays into that. We're going to take a break right here. As we do so, a reminder, hollis-wright.com is where you can find out more about this law firm, Josh Wright. All the links for this podcast as well, it's all right there. Subscribe on YouTube, wherever you listen to podcasts. We would love to have you subscribe, review, and help us spread the word. More of the Law Talk podcast coming up after this quick break.
We love this state and its great people. People that are worth fighting for in their lowest moments. It's what drives our lawyers to do what we do. We're here right now to fight for you. At Hollis Wright, your result matters. Did you know when you hire Hollis Wright, you are still in charge of your case? Our attorneys at Hollis Wright are client-centered, allowing you to help us control your case and result. At Hollis Wright, your result matters.
The springboard for this episode is reputation and honesty are cornerstones of a thriving practice. I'm curious, what do you look for in terms of talent acquisition of attorneys and staff for that matter, and how does character play into what you're looking for?
Yeah. So, you know, We talked a little bit in the last segment about how making the right decision each time matters, mm-hmm. and your reputation will transcend a single case. So be honest and forthright in what you do. Character is, and this is what I've learned throughout my life and how I believe, character is what you do when no one's watching and there's no fanfare and there's no camera on you. And it is, what are you going to do in this moment? And you know when character comes because you can feel it in your heart. And you know this is a character moment. Mm-hmm. And it's up to you. Some people choose cut the corner, let's be more efficient. No one will ever figure it out. You know, what if they do, right? So what we try and do is we try and hire, we screen like crazy the guys that we are hiring at this law firm to be the litigators that we believe in. I want to know when I hire someone that that is an individual who, when a mistake is made in a case, and I promise, David, as good of a law firm as you can be, as good of a manager as you can be for a law firm, mistakes will be made at times. And then the question is, how do you handle that? How do you manage that? How do you use it as a teaching point to ensure and maintain it doesn't happen in the future, right? I want to know when I hire someone, when a mistake's made in the case, they don't hide it. They come to me and say, I screwed up. How do we get out of this? Let me pull from your wisdom. What do we do? Well, you know what? I don't know because I haven't been in that spot, but my other partner over here has. Let's get him involved, and we're going to work our way through this. And then all of a sudden, that lawyer recognizes honesty mattered. I told the truth. And it's a lot easier. I say all the time, it's a lot easier to solve a problem immediately than it is to try and cover it up for 6 months and let things happen during that time and then try and fix it, right? Mm-hmm. And so I want to know when we hire someone that we don't have to worry about that. I want to know when we hire someone and I send my referring lawyer to them. You asked in the last segment, how does this play in practice? When I send my referring lawyer to one of my guys, he settles their case. I may not be managing how that referral fee is paid. I want to make sure he's paying that referral fee so that that referring lawyer wants to send us more business down the road, right? So it comes in so many colors, shapes, and sizes. But remember, character is what you do when there is nobody watching what you're doing, and it's up to you. And that is the type of people that we want at this law firm, is high character people that you don't have to question that issue.
So how does high character attorneys, how does that play with defense lawyers and their appreciation of it, if you will?
Let me give you an example to answer your question, kind of an illustration. So at mediation, if I have litigated with a defense lawyer 3 or 4 times, he knows, hey, Josh is a really aggressive litigator and he's good at what he does. However, he's always going to be honest with me. He's going to tell me like it is. If he is asking me for information related to the value of the case, he is asking me what my vocational person's going to say, what my life care value is going to be, whether or not I'm going to be able to get the doctor to say permanency because I've already met with the doctor because I'm allowed to, he's going to trust those things. And he knows Josh is not going to lie to me that he's going to get permanency mm-hmm. from that doctor, where that doctor is going to say this is a permanent condition. For example, I have a case going now where someone lost eyesight in one eye, and I know what the doctor's going to say, right? So that lawyer's going to trust Josh is telling the truth because I know he'll shoot me straight. It will increase the value of your cases. You get caught a couple times cutting corners and not telling the truth, and guess what? No one will believe you. Right. You will fight for everything and every dollar that you make for every client. And if I'm a client, I don't want to be around a lawyer that's not honest, forthright, and has high character, because I know that the value of my case is greater if I got the right lawyer on my team.
What's that saying? For good or ill, your reputation will precede you?
That's right.
Good or bad. Talk about the values that you instill here at Hollis Wright.
Yeah, so that's a great question. We have some things, David, that are non-negotiables at this law firm. And let me just mention a couple of them. Obviously, we're talking this show about high character and honesty. That is a non-negotiable. Mm-hmm. We have let lawyers go at our law firm for low character before. I'm not going to go through specifics, but I can tell you we've made the right decisions at the right times for that purpose. So high character is a non-negotiable. Another non-negotiable is bedside manner. In other podcasts, we have talked extensively right. about the importance of you find the time to return every call, text, email, or have someone on your staff, or have a relationship with the client where they can trust that you're going to respond to them within an appropriate period of time. Keep learning at all times. don't be so aggressive and arrogant that you can't ask someone else for help in this law firm. That's a non-negotiable. Don't be afraid to say, I don't know. Help me. You're 5 years younger than me, but you had that case. Mm-hmm. I want to learn. Help me be a better lawyer. That's a non-negotiable too. So we have a series of values that we instill, and those are probably four that I named. There are a couple others. But related to this topic, we're big believers in high character individuals ultimately correlates into greater value resolutions for clients that we represent.
Those who are joining us today may have other non-negotiables.
Yep.
Okay, because you got to come up with your own. Mm-hmm. But as you look at that list, and as they are looking at maybe what their list and what their firm should be built on, is there a tip there on how to know what are your how to figure that out of what you know what are your non-negotiables and how do you determine the hills you're going to die on?
Yeah, I mean, really a tough issue to answer as a managing partner of a law firm for over 20 years, other than to tell you this. I know what a non-negotiable is when I see it, and we weren't there on day one. We probably weren't there after 5 years. It took me some time to get to what those non-negotiables were. It took me some time to get through some lawyers that weren't doing it the way that I wanted them to do it and to cut ties and move forward. And it's not just lawyers. It can be staff members too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But at some point, you know the non-negotiables. I mean, a couple others that we really have talked about in other podcasts is, you know, we don't have kings up here. I don't have a dedicated parking
right.
spot outside. Any associate can park in the same spot I can. And that sounds hokey and kind of unnecessary, you know, to even talk about. But let me tell you something. Knowing that you're at a law firm that has high character individuals and where they're going to build your legacy and not just their own legacy, you know you've got a home, mm-hmm. right? So that's another example of that's a non-negotiable. There are no kings up here. That's a non-negotiable that we're never going to change. And I learned that through the process of building right. a continuous team.
Yeah. I would bet that would help with recruitment, but also retention.
Yep.
All right, so before we get to break, I want to get your thoughts on one other thing. So I want to know what is your legacy and what do you want that to be? But also I would like you to pair that with how does that play into clients and client control? So linking your legacy and what you yep. want that to be and how that is reflected in your clients and who the cases you all get.
Yeah, so you know, the way I would describe that is this. I'm a big believer that legacy is not about me. It's about the impact I've had on others around me, right? Mm-hmm. So I kind of look at it with children. And I remember my daughter at one point making a comment to me about, Dad, your legacy as a lawyer is going to be pretty solid. Man, you've done some really cool things and you got this television show and other things. I said, honey, my legacy has nothing to do with that. It has to do with you and your brothers and your mom, and it has to do with the partnership that I've created here. Long after I'm gone from this place, I want Hollis Wright, or whatever the name is of those lawyers, to be known as honest, aggressive, diligent lawyers that are going to give you a battle, but they're going to tell you the truth, right? And so legacy is about more than us. It's about what impact we have on the world around us, number one. And number two, how does that translate, I think was the second question, mm-hmm. to clients?
Mm-hmm.
It translates to client control and managing clients to keep them happy so they stay with your law firm. It correlates to, as our marketing director would tell us, the importance of great Google reviews because they had a good experience from start to finish mm-hmm. at your law firm and you were honest with them the mm-hmm. whole way and you told them 6 months earlier than the case settled that you had issues in the case to worry about and they knew that and had correct expectations. And it's impacted by just happy clients who send you business down the road. All those things ultimately work through legacy and honesty and high character individuals to be able to keep clients happy down the road and get more clients.
I want us to take a break right here, our final break in this show. But when we come back, let's talk about the stress of practicing law because mm-hmm. It is a tough line of work, and there are some tough days, but also maintaining a personal life and how you do that in a growing thriving law firm. We'll get to that after the break. As we head to break, a reminder, hollis-wright.com, if you want to know more about Josh, but also the other attorneys here on this firm, and more about Hollis Wright, but also plenty of links to episodes of this podcast and ways for you to help us out by sharing, reviewing, and spreading the word. Stay tuned. More of the Law Talk podcast coming right up.
The attorneys, proudly sponsored by the law firm of Hollis Wright, are here to serve you.
When we started the show in 2011, my goal was to do what our firm does best: help people answer questions related to real-world legal issues they have in their lives in a way that's not intimidating to talk with a lawyer. If the issue is important to you, it's equally important to us, and we're ready to talk with you at no cost.
Yeah, oftentimes people are confronting various legal issues in their lives that really run the gamut of a lot of different legal practice areas, such as bankruptcy, criminal law, civil law, such as personal injury, divorces, domestic relations. And to be able to have a show once a week that covers those practice areas and answers people's questions in those areas, that's really the main objective of the show.
We use the resources of the many lawyers at our law firm to create a plan that has a lasting impact for each person that calls or texts. And we also give back to the community at the same time. We are here to serve you, the viewer, each week on The Attorneys.
I know that running a law firm of this size can be stress. And I possibly even a small law firm. If you're doing everything, it is a stressful life. So help us understand, what have you learned about how to manage that more effectively?
Yeah, so, you're either in life going to choose with your career to eat well or sleep well. And what I mean by that is, if you're going to eat well, there's going to be more stresses involved and a little more risk-taking involved. If you're going to sleep well, you're probably going to go work for a company or corporation, let someone else manage and handle the day-to-day operations. I choose to eat well. And one time when I complained back to my dad about year 10, he looked at me and said, "You chose to eat well. You always say that to me, Josh." He said, "If you're going to eat well, stop complaining. Go get it done." And he's right. And so part of managing all of this is recognizing, number one, in context, what you chose, right? Then it is being able to understand how to reduce your stress load by preparing for things earlier than normal, not waiting to the last minute. There are things that you do that create stress in your life that are unnecessary. You ever have that in your life?
Of course.
Yeah, where you're like, "I was going to say yes to that child for this a long time ago. I created a stressful environment mm-hmm. for no reason. I was already going to say," you know what I'm saying? And so mm-hmm. like reducing your stress load as best you can. And then we've talked on other podcasts, but it matters. Like the lesson I learned from one of my professors in law school about compartmentalizing your life mm-hmm. has never left me. You've got to be able to turn it off, David. You can't just always be a lawyer at all times. You can't go home, and by the way, your spouse, as a non-lawyer, is not going to appreciate you cross-examining her over dinner, right? She wants you to turn it off, too. It doesn't mean she doesn't care about your day. Mm-hmm. She wants you to turn it off and be a human being, right?
And she has her own stresses.
That's exactly right. And sometimes I want her to turn it off, right? Anyways, you get the point, though. I think... reducing the things that you can control to reduce your stress load, recognizing that you chose this career, and doing everything you can to compartmentalize and turn it off at times, I think that's the way that you manage mm-hmm. it. I mean, you can do all of those things and still have a stressful day.
Right.
But at some point, you got to say to yourself, "You think everything's going to work out? I bet it does." And guess what? It will.
Yeah.
It will. It just will.
High risk, high reward often mm-hmm. comes with high stress. Mm-hmm. But I also know that maintaining that balance is very important to you. So you're saying, is all of it possible? You know, can you do it all?
100%. You can. But, you know, you got to have hobbies. You got to invest yourself in things that are outside the legal world and outside managing a law firm, mm-hmm. Like coaching teams. I probably overdid that. I think I coached 50 total teams, and I overdid it a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. But you know what? We're also all a product of our stresses and a product of our upbringing and whatnot. And when I look back at my upbringing, I look back at some of the stresses that I have as practicing law. I understand why I pushed so much effort into some of these other hobbies. Mm-hmm. Can you have it all? Yeah. You just need to recognize there's going to be some stress involved with it, mm-hmm. but there's some things that you can do to reduce the stress load. With all that said, let me give you the net. The net is practicing law is a fun career, and it is something I would never change, and I wouldn't change a single thing we did at this law firm. We've made mistakes, and we'll talk about that in future seasons of the podcast. Mm-hmm. We've made plenty of mistakes and learned from them. But I'm super proud where we are. I'm okay that I had to shoulder some of the stress along the way, and my partners have helped. A whole host of the stress has been managed by them too, and we're in a better position today than we were just 5 years ago and 10 years ago.
Closing argument here on episode 5 of the Law Talk podcast. What do you want to leave those who are joining us with?
I hope that as season 1 is ending, that this venture will have been a good decision for us to provide back to lawyers that may need a little kick of confidence, or lawyers that may need to rejuvenate themselves a little bit. And my hope is in future seasons that we're going to be able to provide the type of material that will help people be better lawyers, be less stressed lawyers, live their best life, and hopefully help them in their practice just a little bit. And one of the things I hope people will do is they have the ability to email us, call us, text us, go to our website, subscribe to YouTube and the video side of the podcast. And if they've got comments about shows that they like us to do, we're all in. Make recommendations, and you're probably going to see that show down the road. And it's been an honor to be with you here on season 1 because you do such a good job. You're a consummate professional.
Josh Wright, you're a good man. I appreciate it. And this is a lot of fun. I hope you all listening and watching us here enjoy it as much as we do. We appreciate you being with us. Hollis-Wright.com is where you can find out everything you need to know about this firm, about Josh Wright, how you can subscribe and review. It's all on there. The links will be on there and will be added to. This is season 1. We appreciate you listening to us and hope, like Josh said, that this has meant something and has helped you, provided you some tips, some ideas, some creative solutions, creative problem solving, and maybe even a little bit of encouragement along the way. Thanks so much, and we'll see you next time here on the Law Talk Podcast.